Showing, we're picking up Perek Yud. We're mamish in the middle of the conversation between Shmuel and Shaul. Although he has spoken to him a few times, he hasn't, or at least the Tanakh hasn't told us exactly what he said. Right? We saw him speaking to him. He says, "Lemi kol chemdas." Right? "Lemi kol chemdas Yisrael lechol lechol beis avicha." Like, don't worry about the donkeys. You have greater things to worry about now, and you don't have to worry about donkeys anymore. And then we saw the two or the one conversations that they had on the roof. So we ended off the Perek Tes, as Shaul is told by Shmuel to let the Nar go ahead, and Yamin suggested very beautifully that there's reason for that, because this is supposed to be a moment which is cherished between the Navi and the king. And it really just shows the relationship, the close-knit relationship that they have to have. And it has to be a very intimate moment. So that's where we're picking up. Vayikach Shmuel es pach ha-shemen. Vayitzok al rosho vayishakeu. So he takes the pach ha-shemen, which obviously has the shemen ha-mishcha, and he puts it on his head, vayishakeu, and he kisses him. Vayomer halo ki mashichacha Adonai al nachlaso. Then I get through the Shemen HaMishcha, just like the Kohanim were, there was also Shemen HaMishcha, so also the kings, they have this Shemen HaMishcha, and this is a symbolic point that Hashem has now made you the king. So it's interesting that the Mefarshim point out that Dafka, it's a Pach HaShemen by the kings, however, of Malchus Beis David. We find that they are anointed not with a pach ha-shemen, but with a keren, which is very interesting. And possibly the reason is because we're already starting to see that the malchus of Shaul is not exactly the malchus or the ideal malchus. Okay, so he takes this pach ha-shemen and he anoints him to be king. Bilachtecha hayom me'imadi. So now he's gonna tell him, when you're leaving from me today, you're going to leave and you're going to go through a process. You're going to see a lot of different things that are going to happen to you, and that's what we're going to see right now. Belechtecha yom meimadi umatzasa shnei anashim in kfurat Rachel. You're going to leave today and you're going to continue walking on your journey and you're going to go by kfuras Rachel, right where Rachel Yemenu is buried. Bigvul Binyamin Betzel Tzach. Vamru Elacha Nimtzu Ha Sonos Asher Halachta Levakesh. There's going to be two people over there, and they're going to say, "We found the donkeys, don't worry." Now, what's the significance of Kfuras Rachel? I have to point out what exactly. Huh?
The location is confusing.
The location is confusing exactly where Kfuras Rachel is, that's true. Whether it's Bigvul Binyamin, but also, we know that it's by Yehuda. It's probably on the Gvul between Binyamin and Yehuda. We don't know exactly where she was buried. But I think the significance of Kfuras Rachel, of why they're going back there, is because that reminds him of the source of where he gets this from, right? From Yaakov Avinu, is Malchim Mechatzecha Yetzeyu. So it's reminding him the Kfuras Rachel, his roots. Right? But he goes over there and he's told that his two donkeys, you're going to see that these two people are going to tell you that the donkeys were fine. Vine Natasha Vichas Divrei Asonos, your father has totally forgotten about the entire donkey situation with Da'agla Chem Limor, Maya Selivni. So these people are basically going to tell you what I said back then, that the donkeys are fine and your father is looking for you. Second os. Vechalafta Misham, and you'll go on from there. V'chalafta misham v'halo basa ad elon tavor umatzaucha sham shlosha anashim olim el Elohim beis el. They're going up to beis el. Already there is three people. They're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echad nosei shlosha gdiim. One is carrying three sheep. V'echad nosei shloshes kikaros lechem. And one is holding three loaves of bread. One is holding a sack of wine. Obviously, they're bringing this for korbanos to Beis El. V'sha'alu l'cha l'shalom, and they're going to ask you, like, how are you doing? V'nasnuach ha'shtei lechem v'lakachtam yadam. And they're going to give you two loaves of bread, and you're going to take it from them. What's the os here? Like, what's the first os? And what, the first os, at least, is a little bit clear because it's like part of what Shmuel had told him. What's the significance of three people holding three loaves of bread, three gdim? They're going up to Beis El. So I think on a simple level, this is really bipashtus, is that they're giving him something. Recognizing that, sort of bring us back to what Kol Chem Das Yisrael, is that Am Yisrael is starting to recognize, even not consciously, but they're actually giving Shaul something for nothing. They're going to meet you and they're going to give you bread. They're going up to the Beis Hamik, they're going up to the Mishkan, wherever the Mishkan is at this point, and they're giving you something. So this is already a connection to the Malchus. At first, you were worried about your donkeys. Now it's already, you're getting something positive in return for being king. Achar kein tavo givase Elohim. And then you'll come to this place, givase Elohim, which is Kaniren Kiryat Yarim. Asher sham nitzavei plishtim. There were officers of Plishtim that were living there at that time. Vayikibo achasham ha'iru pagata chevel nevi'im yordim me'abama. And you're going to meet a family of nevi'im. Chavra having nevuah. Vilufneam neva v'tof v'chalil v'kinor v'hema misnabeim. And there's a whole band there playing, obviously, because we know that nevuah is shower in a place of simcha. It's shower in a place of there's beautiful instruments and so on and so forth. So, huh?
I thought we referred to them at this time as ro'im.
Could be that there's also. Right. So it's a good question, though, because like we just related, I didn't really think about it. Why are they called the VM over here?
Well,
okay.
It's really just narrating. And, oh, no, it's talking.
Right, yeah, nachon, it's talking. V'tzalcha lecha ruach Adonai v'isnabesa imam v'ne'efachta li'ish acher. And you're going to meet them, and you're going to have nevuah, and you're going to become a new person. Yeah. Could be, could be. But it said, Lifnim Yisrael Amru Nilcha Ada Ro'eh. So it sounds like that's what they were called, but Kanira that they were interchangeable. Sometimes they were called Nevi'im, sometimes they were called Ro'im. Either way, this third os is already a much clearer os as to why this is happening to Shaul. Why does he have to experience Nevuah? Because Nevuah is what is going to drive him. The Melech doesn't make decisions on his own. Big decisions on his own. He has to be mityaetz with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And therefore, he has to experience this nevuah. Were all of the kings, were Malchei Yisrael Nevi'im? No, they weren't. There's a shiloh about David and Shlomo, whether they had Ruach HaKodesh. They definitely didn't have proper nevuah. Maybe Ruach HaKodesh. But Shaul actually experiences nevuah, because this is supposed to be an impactful moment. So if we've seen so far the three osos, the first one is don't worry about the donkeys anymore. Your father is worrying for you. The second os is that Am Yisrael is starting to give you things already. They're starting to recognize you. The third thing is already an internal change. It's growth. It's spiritual growth. You're actually going to experience nevuah. V'haya ki tovona ha'osos ha'elalach. And Shmuel continues, and when you see that all these osos happen, all these signs happen, asei lecha asher tinsa yadecha, ki Elohim imach. You could basically go on, continue living your life, and you could do whatever you think is proper as the new king. Now what exactly does that mean? So the Mefarshim over here explain possible different things. Maybe it means tachzichei milchama. Maybe it means that he should start planning this war against the Plishtim.
It just seems like a super weird way to make sense. Like not telling anyone, and then like this guy's just like a king. No one knows.
Right, no one knows about it, only he knows about it.
Right,
Ein Melech Belo Am.
Yeah.
So we're going to see that the nation gets involved in just a little bit. But it's interesting that at this point, they aren't involved. Okay. So after telling him these osos, it seems like this coming pasuk is also going to be an os. But let's pay attention to it that it's not really an os. V'aradita lifanai ha-Gilgal. It sounds like as if after all of these things happened, then Shmuel tells Shaul, then you should go down to the Gilgal. V'inei anuchi oreda lecha la'alos olos lizborach zivchei shlamim. I'm going to meet you over there to bring korbanos. Shivas yom yamim tochel ad boye lecha. Wait 7 complete days until I come. V'odati lecha es asher tase. And I'll tell you what is going to happen. Now, what is this pasuk speaking about? This pasuk is obviously speaking about not an os which is going to happen to him, but this is actually later on, after the malchus becomes established, even with Am Yisrael. We're going to see that Am Yisrael in the first war against the Plishtim are brought to Gilgal, and Shaul has to make a decision. He's waiting around for Shmuel for 7 days, and he has to make a decision whether to go out to war against the Plishtim or whether he should wait around. It almost reminds us of a little bit of this week's parsha. Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe lemilavo. Right? They're waiting around. So Shaul experiences a similar thing. So Shaul has no idea what he's talking about when he says this in Pasuk Ches. He just knows that at some point, when you instruct me to go to Gilgal, I'm going to have to wait around. What's the significance, therefore, of Shmuel saying what? Like, why is Shmuel saying this right here? I think it connects to the pasuk prior to it, right? What does it say? When all these osos happen to you, asei lecha asher timtzaya decha ki Elohim imach. Do whatever you'd like. Do whatever is good for you, because Hashem is with you. And then it goes already into a tzivui from Hashem, from Shmuel, right? What's the difficult balance between a king and the Navi is that the king wants to act autonomously. He wants to make his decisions about the Mediniut and when he's going to go out to war, but he also is taloi on the Navi. So what Shmuel is saying is, you can do whatever you want, but already over here, you should see that the beginning of your Malchus, you're going to have to stand up to a big test. And you're going to have to listen to Hashem. Meaning, you can't really just do whatever you want. You have the reign to implement different policies and so on and so forth. But remember, just like the Torah tells us, the Sefer Torah should also always be with the king, because that needs to be his consciousness. Okay. Vayakaf noso shichmo laleches mim Shmuel. So this conversation is over. He turns around. Vayafoch lo Elohim lev acher. Hashem gives him this lev acher. And as he walks away from Shmuel, all of these osos happen in that day. Right, so we're not told about all of the other osos, how they happen, but we are told about the Chevel Nevi'im. So they go to the Chevel Nevi'im, he finds this Chevra having Nevuah. He starts having Nevuah. Vayhi kol yodomet mol shel shoman, and there was kanira. This was happening in Binyamin, and there were people around that knew Shaul, and all the people who knew Shaul from the day or two before. Vayiru v'inei im neviim nibah, that he's having this nevuah. Vayomer am isha reyu mazeh hayala ven kish hagam Shaul baneviim. Like, since when is Shaul a navi? Is the son of Kish a Navi? Vayan ish misham, and there was a person over there that answered, Vayomer umi avihem, and who is the father of the rest of these Nevi'im? Al kain ha'isa l'mashal hagam Shaul ba'Nevi'im. Very interesting psukim over here. What exactly is happening over here? So there's this conversation, this back and forth about, it's interesting that Shaul now is getting this Nevuah. But what is their question? The people ask, in correlation to his father. I think we've mentioned this before. In the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, we say that Shmuel's father, right? Elkanah, we speak about Elkanah. And we know that Elkanah was a Navi. So in general, in the Tanakh, and this is a general, there are obviously exceptions, but usually when a Navi is named by his father, meaning Shmuel ben Elkanah or Yoshiyahu ben Amoz usually means that his father is also a Navi. So it was generally an accepted thing that Nevi'im had within the family. They stayed Nevi'im, right? However, so that's the precedence of this question, is like, who, Kish isn't a Navi, so then who's this guy? So this person, whoever's there, says, do you know the father of all of these other Nevi'im? Basically saying that you might think that that's generally the case, but it's not always the case, right? Nevuah is not something which is necessarily passed on from father to son like the Malchus, right? Something which is God-given. The Nevuah, the Rambam says that a person can't come to Nevuah without, first of all, being chosen, and also being working on his midos and his chachman. He has to get to such amazing levels. So this person over there says, no, it's not only their father. It's interesting why exactly the psukim have to tell us this here. Vayachal misnabos ve'avo habama, and he finishes up his nevuah, and he comes to bring the korban. Vayomer dod Shaul elav, and now we hear about his uncle. Vilnaro an halachtem. So the uncle of Shaul goes over to him in the Nara and says, where'd you go? Vayomer levakesha sasonos. We were looking for the donkeys. Viniraki ayim v'navoel Shmuel. So we didn't have anything to do. We couldn't find them, so we went to Shmuel. Vayomer dod Shaul hagidan ali ma amar lachem Shmuel. Tell us, what did he tell you? What did Shmuel have? What insights did he have for you? He told us that the donkeys would be found. But he didn't tell him about the Malchus. Now, once again, we could understand this in two ways. Either this is Shaul's unbelievable amount of anava, or that he was actually directed by Shmuel not to say anything. Now, why would he be directed by Shmuel not to say anything? Yeah.
Oh, we know later on there's a whole Goral and everything. So, I mean, like, it's not supposed to be known.
It's not, but what? Meaning, I guess we're going
to. Unless you want it to be, like, you want to see it comes from, like, when it's a Goral, you say, oh, it's this family, like, from Hashem.
Yafemod, it's very important that the nation know that Hashem chose this person. Not that Shmuel, you know, Shmuel had a friend with a protectia and he made him king. So although we understand this on one pan, from one perspective, is that there's a Navik here, like we suggested in the last few days, there's also a pan of maybe Shmuel just doesn't want anyone to know at this point. Yeah.
I would say it differently. I think it's the same thing, but if it originates from a rumor, it could seem false. It can make Shmuel look a little bit unreliable.
Right.
But if it comes from a different way, then it could be...
Right. Right, yes, sir. Very, also a good reading.
I don't understand the first answer. He's explicitly asked, how does that show that Shmuel picked him? Like, if he's eventually going to come to, it's not like this is staying hidden forever. That answer works if it never comes out. So why would the timing matter?
The timing would matter, once again, because there needs to be this go-round. There needs to be this perception that the Urim V'Tumim is the one who's making the decision. And that's what we're going to see is going to happen, not Shmuel. Okay? Although they believe in Shmuel, it could be there's people who are hesitant to believe in Shmuel, and definitely there are people who are hesitant to believe in Shaul. So let's continue. Okay.
So why even anoint him?
Why anoint him at this point if no one's...
You want to keep it secretive. So if he's not doing any kingly duties... There's nothing that's urgent.
I would say this to repair him before.
Well, first of all, Hashem said to go and anoint him, right?
Yeah.
Before this entire situation, so it was a tzivui from Hashem. Now the question is, like, so then why would Hashem then ask?
He didn't want to throw it on the spot. Let's say right. There, also he was
you could prepare him without anointing.
Right. Okay. So I really like the question, and I think.
Then he's not a full-on king.
Okay, but it'd be the same thing in line to your uncle if he said they were king versus he anointed me as king. It's going to be different.
It's not just about the king, it's a general concept.
If you were to be like a seaboy with people, like, would it go into effect?
If Hashem...
If Shaul... Shaul himself...
if Shaul just started, making commandments or whatever it was.
Like,
Was he like a fish?
Ein Melech Belo'am, meaning like at this point he had the Shemen HaMishcha and Shmuel made him king. But once again, without the acceptance of the people, how much tokef does it really have? It could be like halachically he has tokef, but like in the Metzias, does he have tokef?
I'm not sure.
It could be. Okay, let's continue. Vayatzeik Shmuel es ha'am el Adonai ha'mitzvah. So now Shmuel brings in the entire nation ready to come and tell them about Shaul. Vayomer al b'nei Yisrael gives them a Musar Shmuz. Once again, because Shmuel's not happy about this whole king situation. Ko'amar Adonai Elohi Yisrael anochi ha'elesi es Yisrael mi'mitzrayim. Va'atzil eshem mi'ad mitzrayim u'mi'ad ko'am ha'machos ha'lochatzim eschem. I've saved you until this point. I took you out of Mitzrayim, our entire history. And you've hated your God. He's taking you out of all of your terrible trials and tribulations. We don't want Hashem anymore. We want a king. So now you are going to get what you want. Go ahead. Let's put it together. Split up according to your shvatim and according to your families. Vayakriv Shmuel es kol shivtei Yisrael vayilakeid shevet Binyamin. Shmuel is using the Urim V'Tumim at this point, and the Urim V'Tumim is the way that the Urim V'Tumim worked. It's machlokas and the Rishonim. But kanirah, let's just go with the approach that the different stones lighted up and lit up and were able to show Shmuel whichever shevet, whichever family it was. Vayakriv Shmuel es kol shivtei Yisrael vayilakeid shevet Binyamin. Shevet Binyamin was chosen. Matri, the family of Matri, which was the smallest family. Where's Shaul? Can't find him. Imagine, this is like the greatest ma'amad ever for this king, and like he's nowhere to be found. So they asked the Urim V'Tumim again. It's not Shaykh that Hashem like made a mistake, but like, maybe we read it wrong. Shaul's not here. Kanirah Hashem comes to Shmuel and he says, no, he's hiding behind the Kalim. How absurd is this scene? Shaul is about to be anointed king in front of the entire nation. And where is he? He's like hiding behind like the... What an odd scene. Vayarutzu vayichumisham, so they run and they grab him. Vayisyatzev b'toch ha'am vayigba mikol ha'am mishichbo v'malo. We know that he was much taller than everyone else. So that he was hiding, you know, like maybe like a shack sort of thing, you know, like hiding behind like this huge like wall. Like, yeah, we see you there, Shaul. Vemeshwal kol ha'am. Hareisam asher bachar bo Adonai, do you see that Hashem chose this person? Why does Shmuel have to say this? The scene is so odd. It's like as if Shaul doesn't want to be king, or he feels like he's like not worthy to be king. He already echoed this to Shmuel before. I'm from Shevet Binyamin, from the smallest family. Ki ain't kamo bechol ha'am. There's no one like him. So Shmuel is trying to really drill it home. Although it might look a little bit weird right now, you know, he's hiding and he's a big anav, but there's no one like him. They said, Yechi HaMelech, long live the king. Now, Shmuel says, Mishpat HaMelucha. Is this the same Mishpat HaMelucha that he said back when? I don't think so. I think these are actually the halachos of the king, not him trying to scare them. And he puts it down in a sefer. He puts it down on parchment, and he puts it by the Mishkan. And everyone, he disperses everyone. Okay, everyone, go home. Isn't this a little bit weird? Like, why is he sending everyone home? Like, shouldn't there be like this, like inauguration? I don't know, like a Joe Biden inauguration. Fish playing and the Beatles, you should get the whole chevra. Like, there's no inauguration party, there's no nothing. Shmuel is just like, all right, chevra. So either their taco was no inauguration party, or that there was an inauguration party and the Tanakh just doesn't tell us about it. I think it would be very odd for there not to be some sort of big simcha. You know, imagine the scene. All of Am Yisrael is there. There's probably a lot of, you know, pre-barbecuing to Shmuel's. You know, they were tailgating before Shmuel's speech. Just once again, just imagine everyone having to come to this place. You know, you got to set up shop. Anyways, v'gam shol halach lebeiso givasa. Shaul also goes home. Vayelchu imo achayil asher naga Elohim b'libam. But he doesn't go home alone, obviously, because now he's the king. Chevra, there's a chevra that goes along with him, right? Those who the words of Hashem really inspired them. However, we're told, uvnei v'li'al amru, but there were those, b'nei b'li'al, which we've heard this so many times in the Sefer already, these rebellious ones who said, mayoshienu zeh. Like, who is this guy that he's going to save us? It's the same lashon which we said by the Aron. It's the same lashon which Shmuel says that it's not. So it's these chevr. Mayo she'enu zeh. Like, what is this? Who's this nobody? He might be tall. He might be good looking. But look at him. He's hiding behind the barrels. He doesn't even want to be king. Mayo she'enu zeh. Ve'avazu. And they. It's like, this guy's no one. And they didn't bring him a mincha, they didn't bring him an offering. And Shaul, although, didn't say anything. Kanira, everyone else, at that point, started bringing him gifts to show the recognition of him being a king. But he doesn't say anything. And once again, this is the hard balance. Should Shaul be saying something? Should he not be saying something? I think this is the balance which Shaul is going to struggle with throughout his entire life. And Dafka the Tanakh is telling us about this struggle. He doesn't say anything. A king needs to have oz. He needs to have anava. He needs to know his place. But he also needs to know how to stand up and be strong. Yeah.
Just